God, as we prepare to hear this Easter story once again, may the power of your Holy Spirit rest upon us here. May it enliven our hearts and our minds to hear it anew, that we may hear this story, believe in its truth, and know that we indeed have a Savior who lives. Amen. The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. This morning, before I begin preaching, I want to teach you, well, some of you probably know it, but a statement that we sometimes make in the Presbyterian Church. And there, it's a response thing. And the thing I say is, "Great is the mystery of faith." And your response is, "Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." Let's give that a shot. Great is the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
All right, now keep that in mind for some time a little later. There is a phrase. A phrase that used to be used in our criminal justice system. And it has been stuck in my head all week long. It's three short words: dead man walking. Prior to 1960, this phrase was proclaimed loudly as men were walking from their jail cells to the execution chair. This statement was yelled out as they made their final journey to death. Dead man walking. For these men, death was imminent. Hope was gone. Life was over as they knew it. And it seems an apt description of these men in that moment. But it's not just a description. It turns out that the reason that the guards would say it was because it was a warning. It was a warning for all those who would be in the path. Because a man who is headed to his death is unpredictable. When someone knows it is all over, they're coming to their last moments, that person can be incredibly dangerous because that man has nothing to lose. This Holy Week, as that phrase traveled with me through the week, more and more and more, I found it fitting, absolutely fitting, to describe Jesus for me. But it's not just in this last week of his life. It's throughout his whole life, from beginning to end, we can say that Jesus was a dead man walking. As we journeyed through Lent this year, these 6 weeks leading up to Easter, we talked about the fact that Jesus began his ministry in the synagogue in Nazareth with a sermon. And he read from the book of Isaiah, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. And as he sat down in his seat, he said to the gathered crowd, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And they were excited. But when Jesus included a widow from a neighboring tribe and an enemy army commander into this promise of release and sight and freedom, the people would have none of it. And so they drive Jesus out to the edge of a cliff to throw him off. And don't you think that Jesus might have known that he was going to upset them with his words? But Jesus was living as a man with nothing to lose. Jesus was a dead man walking. The Gospel of Mark has been called the hurry-up gospel. And it's because every time Jesus finishes with somebody, with a healing or with a story, Mark says, immediately Jesus got up and went. Jesus' movements are unpredictable and quick. His actions are mind-boggling. His stories don't make sense most of the time to the people hearing them. But Jesus has so much to do, and he's got so little time. He's living with a purpose. Jesus is a dead man walking. Jesus challenged everything about the religious and cultural life of his people. He challenged the Sabbath laws, those Saturday laws that even kept people from picking grain to eat. He sat and dined with sinners and with tax collectors. He even speaks to women, even Samaritan women. He challenges the food cleanliness laws. You see, this man is living dangerously. He's a dead man walking. This past Sunday, as Jesus paraded into Jerusalem on a donkey, as palm leaves were waved and coats were laid down before him, and the people shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Just on the other side of town, a man known as Pilate was having his own parade. A man who represented the Roman authority rode in on a gallant horse. As the people there gathered and cheered and sometimes sneered. You see, here on Palm Sunday, these two worlds collide. And don't you know that Jesus was a dead man walking? As soon as he gets done with the parade, what does he do? But he goes into the temple. The temple, he sees the tables displayed there with money changers. And he flips the tables, turns over the chairs, chases them out of the temple, and calls them robbers. You see, this man must be a dead man walking. So the question is, what makes him this way? What makes Jesus live so recklessly, so dangerously? From the very first time that his disciples declared who he was. The Bible tells us that from that time on, from that moment on, Jesus began to teach his disciples that he must suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. He must suffer at their hands and be killed and rise again. You see, it's a keen piece of foreshadowing in our Bibles. But it's more than that, because Jesus knew it. Jesus knew where this story was headed. And he tried to prepare the people who were following him for it. And when he was challenged by one of his own disciples, by Peter, when he was challenged and said, "This can't happen," his words were just as reckless. "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Jesus was a dead man walking. So on Thursday night, he dines with Judas and the other disciples. He dines with his betrayer. This meal for Jesus is both sad but resolute. As he breaks bread, with pain in his voice but steadfastness in his purpose, he offers his body and his blood as it's poured out for many. As he prays in the garden that night, while his disciples can't even stay awake, he actively surrenders to what he knows will take place. And as his betrayer comes with a kiss, he is arrested peacefully. Jesus was a dead man walking. As he stands before the powers that be, he stands in a trial, Jesus says nothing. As the crowd cries out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" he says nothing. As they flogged him, as they whipped him and stripped him and mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" he does nothing. As he carries his cross to the top of the hill, he carries that cross with the soldiers behind him, mocking him and exclaiming, "Dead man walking." So on that Friday, the sky turns black. The people standing there watching say, "Come down from there if you are the Son of God," while Mary weeps at the foot of the cross. And Jesus breathes deeply and exhales and dies. Joseph of Arimathea offers up his tomb for a resting place for Jesus. The stone is rolled in place, and it seems that he was nothing more than a dead man walking. But this morning, this Sunday morning, Mary and Mary come to the tomb. The earth shakes. The whole world quivers as a stone is rolled away and an angel sits playfully on top of it. The angel is brighter than light itself. And with a voice as delighted as it was imposing, the angel proclaims, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, as he said." You see, today, Jesus is a dead man walking. In this turn of fortunes, the dead are made alive, the broken are made whole, the torn has been mended. Where there was once only destruction, life rises from the ashes. I invite you to hear these words from a poem from Sylvia Kiesmatt and Brian Walsh. In the face of a culture of death, a world of killing fields, a world of the walking dead, Christ is at the head of the resurrection parade, transforming our tears of betrayal into tears of joy, giving us dancing shoes for the resurrection party. And this glittering joker, who has danced in the dragon's jaws of death, now dances with a dance that is full of nothing less than the fullness of God. This is the dance of a new creation. This is the dance of life out of death. In this dance, all that was broken, all that was estranged, all that was alienated, all that was dislocated and disconnected is reconciled, comes home, is healed, and is made whole. You see, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, is a dead man walking. And this makes all the difference in the world. This Easter Sunday, we celebrate the fact that he has been raised. But it's so much more than that. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The good news of this Easter Sunday morning is that we share in the resurrection with him. We are made a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Yes, friends, we are dead men and women walking. Dead to all that is perishing, all that is fleeting. And we are called to life, abundant life, found through faith in him who is the resurrection and who is the life. As dead men and women walking, it is his life that we strive to imitate. And it is him that we worship, just as the women fell at his feet in worship that first Easter Sunday morning. The story of our faith is that Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, great is the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Amen.